Today on Renewing Your Mind, remembering Dr. R.C. Sproul.
I know men that he deeply, deeply loved, but he would not let his love for them discount his own fidelity to the truth. And even if it meant, you know, the breaking of an earthly friendship in order to be faithful to Jesus, R.C. Sproul was ready to do it. And I'll never forget that about my dear friend, R.C., who knows Jesus face to face now.
That's Dr. Ligon Duncan, Chancellor of Reformed Theological Seminary, helping us reflect on the life of our beloved founder, Dr. R.C. Sproul. As many of you already know, Dr. Sproul passed away last Thursday after a brief illness. And this week, we have been sharing memories of a man who was a theologian, a pastor, and a friend. You can read many of those reflections at rcsproul.com, and you're welcome to go there anytime to post your memories of R.C. and to leave your condolences for the family. Today, though, on the program, we'd like to share some reflections from some of Dr. Sproul's longtime friends, men who labored alongside R.C., but also learned from him. And we begin with Dr. John MacArthur, pastor of Grace Community Church in Southern California. And Dr. MacArthur, thank you for being with us today. I'd like to start by asking you, when did you first meet Dr. Sproul?
I can't exactly be certain, but I think the first time we met may have been at a Ligonier conference when he invited me to come. And I was actually surprised because I was sort of an outsider and I wasn't sure how this happened. And from the time that I first came, my heart was drawn to him. And in those days, he used to call me Boris because there was this Russian guy who stood up on a tank in Russia and said, go no further and stop the troops. And he said, that's MacArthur. He's Boris. And he used to talk about wanting me in his foxhole when he went to war. And of course, I have immense respect for him.
Well, certainly that was a hallmark of Dr. Sproul's ministry as well. And I know that he considered you a brother in arms as you fought many battles together over significant theological issues. One of those battles concerned the movement called Evangelicals and Catholics Together. And what you and Dr. Sproul wanted people to see is that this came down to the very essence of the gospel.
Well, he always knew what was true. R.C.'s always, he just nails the truth. He sees it. The Spirit of God has led him. He knows how to defend it biblically. And I'm somewhere else growing up in another environment, but I have that same driving passion. And I believe in the perspicuity of Scripture. I think it's clear. I think even a guy like me who's kind of a hacker, I can find my way to the truth in the Word of God. So we had that passionate commitment to the truth. We both ended up down in Fort Lauderdale, locked up in a room for 7 hours. And this was, to me, stunning again. We were trying to convince those leaders what the gospel was. Talk about writing the gospel according to Jesus.
Well, I know how much he appreciated you joining him in those battles. But there was an issue that many of our listeners will remember that you and R.C. disagreed on, and that was the issue of baptism. And many of our listeners might remember a somewhat famous debate that you and R.C. engaged in at a conference in 1997.
I'll never forget him. He said, will you come and we'll do a debate on baptism? I said, okay, on one condition, I go first, because you're going to have to answer the biblical argument, and I don't want to have to answer a non-biblical argument. We had a great time, and I remember his physical posture. I remember him kicking his shoes off. It was really a wonderful time. And, you know, I think that whole thing didn't separate us. It tied us even tighter.
Well, Dr. MacArthur, thank you for sharing these thoughts with us. I know how much your friendship meant to Dr. Sproul, and we certainly appreciate you sharing this time with us.
I'm just thankful to the Lord that he opened the door for me to step into R.C.'s world. I'm just honored by that relationship. He's been my teacher, as he's been yours, as well as my friend. It's been an amazing, amazing blessing to me.
Well, joining us now is another longtime friend of Dr. Sproul's. He is the Chancellor and CEO of Reformed Theological Seminary, Dr. Ligon Duncan. And Dr. Duncan, as we reflect on the life and ministry of Dr. Sproul, we have heard from so many lay people like myself who have been impacted by Dr. Sproul's ministry. But I'd like for you, if you will, to assess the impact that Dr. Sproul has had over these many decades in the pulpit, on as you survey the landscape of Reformed churches across this country and around the world, what impact has he had on teaching pastors?
Well, it's almost incalculable, Lee. I mean, I reflect back, you know, just as a teenage boy, I was a benefactor of R.C. Sproul's ministry. And, you know, I came to know of his ministry about the same time that I came to benefit from the ministry of Sinclair Ferguson, who was another teaching fellow of Ligonier. And they had a huge impact on my life. I was reading the stuff that they were producing. And that's the time frame in which Ligonier was already sounding the bell on the inerrancy of Scripture. And that, you know, that's R.C. That's R.C. He recognized the importance of that issue at that time. And really, the International Council on Biblical Inerrancy was 10 years behind R.C. Sproul. You know, R.C. Sproul in the Ligonier Statement was really the first statement on biblical inerrancy that came out long before ICBI came out. And if you want to talk about an impact on the pulpit, if a pulpit loses the confidence of the Word of God, the pulpit's done for. So, you know, that alone, but apart from R.C.'s unique gift in doctrinal narrative preaching, I mean, so many guys that love to tell stories don't love doctrine. and R.C. loved doctrine and was able to convey it in gripping, interesting stories that lay people love. They could understand it, they could identify with it, and then they came to love the truth like he loved the truth. And so it wasn't just his own personal gifting in the pulpit and his faithful exposition in pulpit and classroom. It was the things that he contributed to the pulpits of the entire Reformed world, like an absolute affirmation of the total truthfulness of Scripture. If you can't make that affirmation, your church is sooner or later going to downgrade into heresy. And so that kind of contribution is really incalculable, Lee.
As we talk about the impact that he's had on you and me and our generation, as you interact with your students there at Reformed Theological Seminary, what impact has Dr. Sproul's ministry had on that generation?
Well, not only have the people who have pastored them read him and learned from him and listened to him, but they themselves are reading Dr. Sproul, listening to Dr. Sproul, you know, directly. The amazing thing about Ligonier Ministries is it's multiplied the reach of his ministry to people that he wouldn't have had the opportunity to know face to face. I mean, I was his very junior colleague at RTS right after I really came to Jackson. Because R.C. and some of our other professors had gone to Orlando to start Orlando in 1989. So I came to Jackson. I was interviewed in 1989 to come to Jackson right after he had gone to Orlando to start RTS Orlando. And so the R.C. stories were replete around here. You know, when I got here, I was a junior nobody, but everybody knew R.C. And you know, there are great stories. Like here's one of my favorite R.C. stories from RTS Jackson. He had a pattern. He wanted guys not only to know the truth, he wanted guys not only to be able to answer the right questions on a test, he wanted to see how the truth was actually going to work out in their pulpit ministry and their leadership of worship. So one of the things he would do in his theology classes is he would require students to lead the class in prayer. before they began their session that day. And then after they would lead in prayer, he would do a theological critique of their prayers. And, you know, it's amazing how many heresies seminary students can articulate in a prayer before a class. And R.C. wanted them to make sure they knew, oh, by the way, that was a Trinitarian heresy that you just uttered in that prayer. And so after a couple of weeks, students were so paralyzed with fear that they were going to utter heresy that they were scared. And so he called on one young man on the back row who was kind of hiding, and he stood up and he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and recited the Lord's Prayer and sat back down because he didn't want to be critiqued by R.C. You know, R.C. didn't have much he could say about the Lord's Prayer in terms of theological deficiencies. But, you know, there are just 1,000 stories like that from R.C.'s time with students. R.C. really had the ability to connect with everybody. You saw that at Ligonier conferences, you know, at the national conferences. Yeah, you'd have people that were retired in their 60s, but you'd have homeschool families with 8 kids, you know, sitting next to one another. And those little, you know, 5-year-old kids, 10-year-old kids, 15-year-old kids be hanging on the edge of their seat listening to R.C. preach. He just had the ability to connect with people of every age. And I think that's going to continue, very frankly. His writing style, his speaking style is very engaging. It's easy. You know, who could make infralapsarianism an easy topic to listen to better than R.C. Sproul could? I mean, I've never heard the person who could do it. And he has this, he just had this way of blending stories and philosophy and terminology and precision and Bible and wrapping it all up together in a way that people could listen. So I think his impact on millennials is going to be very similar to his impact throughout the whole course of his ministry. And we have to remember that R.C. lived through a lot of cultural transitions. You know, he's teaching in the 60s. And, you know, you got all that stuff going on in the 60s, and he's teaching in the 70s, and you got all that stuff going on in the 70s. I mean, he lived through so many phases, and his reach and his connection just continued.
We're speaking with the Chancellor and CEO of Reformed Theological Seminary, Dr. Ligon Duncan. And Ligon, before we go, I can't let you go without sharing one personal favorite recollection with R.C.
I particularly remember a meal that Al Mohler and I had with R.C. and Vesta in Orlando not many years ago, when we were talking together about the inerrancy of Scripture and how we could make sure that the next generation realizes how important that is and embraces it the way that R.C. and Jim Boyce and that generation of leaders was able to convince the pastors of their time, you know, back in the 1970s, that this was such a watershed issue. And it struck me in that meal, not only what a privilege it was for me to be able to hear R.C. tell the firsthand stories that he had of inside events that were really life-altering, church-influencing moments in the history of Christianity. But realizing that this is a man who loved God, loved the Bible, loved the truth so much that he was willing to pay the personal price of even losing friendships in order to be faithful to the truth. And I'm trying to hold it together right now because the power of that in R.C., it's a testimony to his character, to the fact that he values the well done, my good and faithful servant, which he has now heard, more than he valued the acclamation of the world, and even more than the friendship of people that he dearly loved. But I know men that he deeply, deeply loved as a friend and still loved. And he loves now, perfected in glory. But he would not let his love for them discount his own fidelity to the truth. And even if it meant, you know, the breaking of an earthly friendship in order to be faithful to Jesus, R.C. Sproul was ready to do it. And I'll never forget that about my dear friend, R.C., who knows Jesus face to face now.
Dr. Ligon Duncan, thank you so much for sharing these thoughts. And I'd like to bring in a friend of yours and a friend of Dr. Sproul's, Mark Dever, who is the senior pastor of Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., as well as the president of Nine Marks Ministry. Dr. Dever, so good to have you with us as we reflect on the life of Dr. R.C. Sproul. What impact did he have on your ministry?
Well, Lee, it would be pretty wide-ranging. I first encountered Dr. Sproul's teaching when I was an undergrad. I was a fairly young Christian, and his teaching series out of Ligonier Valley Study Center on tapes were going out all over the place among young people. I don't know if people remember these days that in the 1970s, before you had anything like the internet, cassette tapes being bought and swapped and borrowed brought R.C.'s ministry, I'm sure, around the world, but certainly it was very popular in intervarsity circles. So I was in intervarsity Christian fellowship at Duke University, and R.C. really taught me a lot of church history. R.C. taught me historical theology. I remember sitting on the beach in Fort Lauderdale listening to him on the Pelagian controversy. So, I mean,
the only one on the Fort Lauderdale beach.
Well, maybe that time, but with Coral Ridge Presbyterian down there, I bet there were a lot, actually. But so, yeah, R.C. was actually a guide for me through a lot of church history and historical theology before I ever knew him personally or even heard him speak live.
What do you think his legacy will be?
Well, you know, R.C. had been teaching long enough that we've already seen the beginnings of what his legacy is. His legacy is a number of ministries which are in and of themselves healthy, from a local church in the Orlando area to a magazine to a Bible college to a series of conferences to just the wealth of the books that he's left and then all of the teaching in audio and video form. R.C. was a master teacher. You know, he understood theology well. I did a Nine Marks interview with him once, probably maybe 10 or 12 years ago. Great fun. He was up in the D.C. area. I just went to his hotel room. We did 1 hour. We enjoyed it so much, we did a second hour. But it was amazing listening to him talk about his Ph.D. studies in the Netherlands. The brother had a facility with language, with other languages, but then with the English language. He was always so clear and plain, good with analogies, and what a quick wit. I mean, just what a gift. Yeah.
We've heard from so many of your colleagues in ministry about their personal encounters with R.C. What sticks out in your mind about your personal interaction with him?
Well, I mean, some of this we're only going to say in heaven, because to speak as well as I would like to of R.C. would necessarily be to speak less favorably of other peers. But R.C., if there's one guy you want in the room, if there's any tension going on, you want R.C. there, because he will have a clear eye on the gospel, and he will have a good, humble sense of humor, an ability to laugh at himself and laugh at others, and to lead us all to do it with grace and humor. I was been in a number of tense discussions, some of which I think I caused, with other brothers that you've probably recorded some of these memories with. And if there's one man who's going to end the logjam, it's R.C. Sproul. He was always able to speak with grace and clarity and humor in a way that, you know, the world got better when R.C. came in the room.
Dr. Dever, thank you for being with us. Dr. Sproul always had a passion to reach an international audience with his teaching, and to that end, Ligonier has been involved in a strategic outreach to Latin America. So we wanted to hear from one of our partners in that endeavor. Dr. Miguel Nunez is senior pastor of the International Baptist Church in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, and he's also the founder and president of Wisdom and Integrity Ministries. Dr. Nunez, would you share with us the impact that Dr. Sproul had on you?
Well, Dr. Sproul has been one of the people who have impacted my life the most, without a doubt. When I first listened to him, I listened to him about the holiness of God. He was sharing on that topic. And I remember very vividly in the middle of the 90s, maybe late 90s, on a Friday night, I began to listen to that series on the holiness of God. And then I listened to it several times through the weekend. And then by Monday morning, I was a different person. I did not get born again that weekend. I had been born again years before. But the awareness about the holiness of God and how I should live my life in view of that holiness was something that marked me on a weekend and continued to mark my life for the rest of the years that I have lived to this day. So I am indebted to God for giving to Dr. Sproul what he gave to me, particularly on that weekend. And ever since, I have read and listened to his sermons and lectures so many times. His doctrine on the election also just transformed my way of looking at the election of believers as a movement of God, of his mercy and grace toward us. And nothing has given me more passion in my life than the holiness of God and the doctrine of election as I listen to both of those topics through Dr. Sproul. So I can't wait to see him in heaven and to hug Dr. Sproul there and to be able to say thank you for your work on earth during those years. And now we have eternity to share about how that was used in my life to touch other people.
Well, thank you, Dr. Nunez. And we go now from Latin America to Europe. And a reflection of the global impact that Dr. Sproul had, we're joined by Dr. Michael Reeves, who is president and professor of theology at Union School of Theology in Oxford, England. He's also recorded a teaching series for us here at Ligonier. Dr. Reeves, thank you for joining us. What do you think R.C. Sproul will be best remembered for?
Dr. Sproul was an omnicompetent Renaissance man, so it's hard to know really where to start. He had so many gifts that he used in a long ministry to glorify the God he adored. And for all the different ways in which I think he could be remembered for his gifts and how he used them, I think it's the faithful use of God's special gifting to him that he'll be remembered for. And that is this. He was given a quite unique ability to put biblical truth that glorified God in a comprehensive and clear way. Whenever he would speak or write, there was such a clarity to presenting rich theology that is very rare. And his defense of biblical Reformation orthodoxy with such clarity and verve is what I think he will be remembered for.
In your own theological growth, Dr. Reeves, how did Dr. Sproul's ministry most benefit you?
My first encounter with Dr. Sproul was through his teaching on justification. And that rescued me from a confusion over the issue and introduced me to his teaching. And what I personally benefited from was the clarity of his thought, the limpid clarity of his theological thought, and not just on justification. I saw it in the way he would be on panels at question and answer times. The way that he could deal with quite complex questions and answer them so roundly and so clearly was quite enormously helpful and influential for me. And there was an instance of God's gifts to one man and so on to the church being used faithfully and well. There were gifts well used.
Dr. Sproul was a man who easily made friends, and his uncompromising stand for the truth gained him many admirers as well. We've been sharing memories of Dr. Sproul, and we hope that they serve as an inspiration to continue pressing into the truth of Scripture. This has been a difficult week for us here at Ligonier, no doubt. As you heard today, Dr. Sproul was a man who showed great love, and many loved him in return. Well, you've heard us mention R.C.'s wife, Vesta. They were married 57 years, and their marriage was something to behold, believe me. And Vesta and the family have so appreciated the outpouring of support from you. And if you'd like to leave a message of remembrance, of condolence, of reflection, you can do that at rcsproul.com. There, you'll also be able to read some of the reflections already posted. Dr. Sproul's longtime friend, Sinclair Ferguson, wrote, R.C. was never afraid or shrank from the fray. He fought well, and his faith conquered. Now he beholds the Lord in his glory and is fully like him. We do not begrudge our friend the fulfillment of his heart's desire to behold the Holy One. That again from Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. But again, if you'd like to leave a reflection of Dr. Sproul and what he has meant to you, we encourage you to go to rcsproul.com. Well, we have been focusing all this week on Dr. Sproul's public ministry, but there is a very personal side of R.C.'s ministry that very few people are aware of. And tomorrow we will reflect on that part of R.C.'s ministry. We'll be joined by two men you've probably never heard of, but they have quite a story to tell of the impact that Dr. Sproul had on them. Please join us Friday for Renewing Your Mind.